Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, December 5, 2024, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Excuse me. A lot of you saw Debbie is here tonight. And she's back with the little people working on the Christmas play that will be Sunday, December 22nd. And one of Sammy and Chris's little girls, Henley, came up to Debbie and gave her a big hug, kind of walked away, and then came over and gave her another big hug, then walked away, and then came over and patted her on the back and said, "I'm glad you made it." Out of the mouth of babes, see. That's why you want to be here for the Christmas plays, the 22nd. You never know what these little ones are going to say, you know. Well, we are in a verse that is extremely important, and the fallen angel who rules planet Earth doesn't want any of you to learn about him. Doesn't want any of you to. If you were ever going to be distracted from not being here, this will be the night you're distracted, because Satan doesn't want you to know anything about him. He deceives the world. Most of the world doesn't even believe that there is a devil or Satan. He's already deceived them. But unfortunately, there are a lot of believers that don't even believe that there is a devil or Satan. And if they do, they don't understand what his strategies are. He has lots of strategies. And our nation is totally involved in those strategies, as well as the entire world. So what we are studying, I can just tell you, it's so important for you to be in fellowship with God, filled with the Spirit, and concentrate, because we're in a war. This war goes 24/7, 365 days a year, an invisible war. And our enemy is Satan or the devil. And if we're going to be winners in this war, we have to know our enemy. You have to know our enemy. And we started this last week. We're going to continue tonight and probably on into next week. 1 John 5, verse 19 says, "We have learned Bible doctrine in the past with the result that we know Bible doctrine now. We know that we are of God," spiritual birth, regeneration, "and we know that the entire world lies in the control of the evil one, Satan." As you grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, you come to know that through spiritual birth, regeneration, you are of God, royal family of God. We know whose side we are on in the invisible war of the angelic conflict. The words "we are of God" are juxtaposed with the state of the whole world, which lies under the control of the evil one, Satan. The winner believer is on God's side over against the world, all unbelievers, and those loser believers living in the cosmic system who are on Satan's side. The winner believer keeps on obeying the mandates of God in His Word and live the spiritual life and attain spiritual maturity and having virtue, love brought to completion in his heart. Satan is the enemy of God, and he is the enemy of the royal family of God, every one of us. And he is the ruler of planet Earth. He rules the world by his cosmic system, cosmos diabolicus, interlocking systems of arrogance, interlocking systems of hatred. And therefore God has given us, the royal family of God, this warning: stop loving cosmos diabolicus. Stop loving the world. So we are all in a war. It's not a visible war. It's an invisible war of the angelic conflict. And Satan is our enemy. And if you are going to be a winner and not a casualty, sad to say, most believers are casualties in this invisible war. If you're going to be a winner, you have to know your enemy. And Satan is our enemy. Now, Dallas Theological Seminary was started by fellow named Lewis Berry Chafer. And Lewis Berry Chafer developed an 8-volume of systematic theology. And the Colonel theme, he sat underneath Louis Berry Chafer. All the Ron Breckel was there at that time. And they studied systematic theology under Louis Berry Chafer. It's an 8-volume systematic theology. You can't get it today. They stopped publishing it. They condensed it, condensed 8 volumes into 2. That's a travesty. When I was at Dallas Seminary in systematic theology, we studied Chafer's systematic theology. And he covers our enemy in volume 2. He covers the enemy that we all face. He says, when God declares, as he does, that the cosmos diabolicus is to continue with increasing deception, and to continue to the embodiment of the lie until it is crushed by the infinite power of the returning King, the Lord Jesus Christ, there is little ground for any attempts to save it or to transform it. Indeed, Christians are exhorted to be instant in season and out of season in the saving of individuals, fulfilling your royal ambassadorship, proclaiming the grace gospel, faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, as the only way of eternal salvation. But that is far removed as an objective from the attempted rescue of that which God has doomed to destruction, and that which by its very nature is anti-God. Satan is anti-God. He's the enemy of God. The cosmic system is anti-God. Cosmos diabolicus is anti-God. Next to the lie itself, the greatest delusion Satan imposes, reaching to all unsaved and to a large proportion of Christians as well, is the supposition that only such things as society considers bad could originate with the devil. If indeed there be any devil at all, as far as most people, they don't even believe there is a devil to originate anything. It is not the reason of man, but the revelation of God, which points out that governments, morality, education, art, commercialism, vast enterprises and organizations, and much of religious activity are all a part of cosmos diabolicus, Satan's cosmic system. That is, the system which Satan has constructed includes all the good. Satan's cosmic system, cosmos diabolicus, is full of good, human good, and it's evil to the core. You have to know that. This system which Satan has constructed includes all the good which he can incorporate into it and be consistent in the thing he aims to accomplish. A serious question arises whether the presence of sin in the world is due to Satan's intention to have it so, or whether it indicates Satan's inability to execute all he has designed. The probability is great that Satan's ambition has led him to undertake more than any creature could ever administer. Revelation declares that the whole cosmos system must be annihilated. Not its evil alone, but all that is in it, both the good and the bad. God will incorporate nothing of Satan's failure into that kingdom, the millennial kingdom, which he will set up in the earth. The cosmos diabolicus must be broken in pieces and become like the chaff of the summer threshing floors which the wind carries away. And all this before the smiting stone, Christ in his return to the earth, will set up a kingdom which shall fill the whole earth, the millennial kingdom. The New Testament predicts the same consummation, saying, "And the world, the cosmos, passes away, and the lust thereof." 1 John 2:17. The one and only thing that will survive this great cataclysm, the text goes on to state, is he that doeth the will of God. He abideth forever. Satan has a twofold objective: to exalt himself, that's the basis of cosmic one, interlocking systems of arrogance, and to oppose God, that's the basis of cosmic two, interlocking systems of hatred. It is still further disclosed that Satan uses false teachers. False teachers who are usually sincere and full of humanitarian zeal, but unfortunately, most of them are unregenerate. Being unregenerate, it is said of them, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned," 1 Corinthians 2:14. Such religious leaders may be highly educated and able to speak with authority on every aspect of human knowledge, but if they are not born again, their judgment in spiritual matters is worthless and misleading. All teachers are to be judged by their attitude toward the doctrine of the blood redemption of Christ, rather than by their winsome personalities, their education, or their sincerity. Since the blood redemption of the cross is the central truth and value of true faith, it being the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1:16, 1 Corinthians 1:23 and 24. Any counterfeit system of doctrine which would omit this essential must force some secondary truth into the place of prominence. Any of the great scriptural subjects which are of universal interest to humanity, such as physical health, or life after death, or morality, or religious forms, are substituted in the false systems for that which is vital. And while those subjects are all found in their proper relations and importance in the true faith, the fact that people are universally inclined to give attention to them furnishes an opportunity for Satan, an opportunity for Satan to make a strong appeal to humanity through them, using these subjects as central truths in his false and counterfeit systems. Many are easily led to fix their attention upon the secondary thing and to neglect completely the one primary thing. Especially is this true since the secondary things are tangible and seen, while the one essential thing is spiritual and unseen. And Satan has blinded their eyes toward that which is of eternal value. Namely, salvation is through faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. A system of doctrine may be formed then which includes every truth of Scripture except the one essential, exalting the person of Christ, but not his work, and thereby emphasizing some secondary truth as its central value. This cosmic system will be readily accepted by blinded humanity through the real power of God unto salvation has been carefully withdrawn, removed. Naturally, it would be supposed that such Satan-inspired systems would have no value or power since there could be no divine favor upon them. Such a supposition would be possible only because of the prevailing understanding with respect to the real power of Satan. If the description given of him in the Scriptures is accepted, he is seen to be possessed with miraculous power, able to perform such marvels that the whole world is led to wonder and then to worship him. He is free also to bestow this miraculous power on others. So it is no marvel if his ministers, who appear as the ministers of righteousness, are able to exert superhuman power when it is directly in the interest of the satanic project. The great power of Satan has doubtless been active along these lines during all the ages past. For it is impossible that humanity should have worshipped other gods blindly without some reward. And it is Satan himself who has been thus worshipped. And here's the sad state today. Churches all over America, churches fall an easy prey to forms of doctrine, deceivableness of unrighteousness, which Satan originates. Sad, sad is the spectacle of churches today meeting week after week to be beguiled by the philosophy of men, and raising no voice in protest against the denial of their only foundation as a church and the individual's only hope for time and eternity. Far more honorable were the infidels of the past generations than those who minister in these local churches today. They were wholly outside the church, those infidels, but now, behold the inconsistency. Men who are involved in the local church, ministering its sacraments and supported by its benevolence, are making an open attack upon that wisdom of God which made Christ Jesus the only ground for all righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. The predictions for the last days are thus not only being fulfilled by false systems and false doctrines, but they are found in the visible church itself. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now, my job is not to scratch your ears, itch your ears. My job is to teach you the absolute truth of the Word of God. If you want your ears tickled, get your ass out of here. There's a lot of churches. I've helped start three or four of them in town. So I'll help you get over there and they can scratch your ears. I'm not here to scratch your ears. I'm here to teach you the absolute truth of the Word of God. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fable. 2 Timothy 4:3 and 4. Great religious activities are possible without coming into complication with saving faith in Jesus Christ. It is possible to fight against sin, that which is bad, and yet not present the Savior, or to urge the highest scriptural ideals and yet offer no reasonable way of attainment. There is a strange fascination about these undertakings which are humanitarian and are religious only in form and title. And there is a strange attractiveness in the leader who announces that he's not concerned about the doctrines of the Bible. That's the only thing I'm concerned about is the doctrines of the Bible. But there's a lot of churches that the pastor's not concerned about the doctrines of the Bible. He has programs for this and programs for that, and let's be nice to everybody and all these kinds of things. Because the helping of humanity is his one passion and care. That characterizes Christianity in America today. Not the doctrines of the Bible, but the helping of humanity. Yet all his passion is lost and his care is to no real end, unless coupled with a very positive message of a particular way of salvation, the true understanding of which demands a series of most careful distinctions. Who can be the God of these systems, the energizing power in these people, and the answerer of their prayers? Surely not the God of the Scriptures, who cannot deny himself and whose word cannot be made to pass away. Revelation sets forth but one other being who is capable of these undertakings. And it not only assigns to this being a great and sufficient motive for all such activity, but clearly predicts that he will oppose and exalt himself in this very day and age. However, if there is a choice to be made, the deepest wisdom will perceive that all the combined secondary values which Satan can offer are but for a fleeting time. and are not worthy to be compared with the eternal riches of grace in Christ Jesus. The idea that man will stand on a basis of self-righteous works has been the chief heresy opposing the central doctrine of grace from the time of Christ's death to the present hour. It so permeates the church that few who preach are able to exclude it from their attempts at proclaiming the gospel. It is safe to say that wherever the element of human works is allowed to intrude into the presentation of the plan of salvation, the message is satanic. The ministers of Satan proclaim personal righteousness as the ground, that's self-righteousness by your works, as the ground of the individual's right relations to God. See, been great to sit under Dr. Lewis Berry Chafer. You talk about someone who nailed it, explaining our enemy. And we have, and I'm talking about Christianity, local churches, men in the churches, they're not interested in the doctrines of the Bible, the absolute truth of the Scriptures, the Word of God. We need to get out and help humanity. And that is it. And so they have lots of religion, and it's the most evil thing. And we don't know our enemy. And all these Christians are casualties. Casualties in the invisible war of the angelic conflict. So, one, Satan rules all fallen angels. Satan rules all fallen angels. When he fell, Isaiah 14:12-14, the five I wills of Satan, I will be like the Most High God. One third of the angels joined him in the revolution against God. And he rules all those fallen angels. Two, Satan has greater power than any human. And he rules the world, the entire world. He is the ruler of planet Earth. And he rules it through Cosmos Diabolicus, his cosmic system. And we got, most people don't even believe there is a devil. They laugh at that. Ah, ha, ha. And they are total casualties. Three, since the fall of Adam, Satan has been the ruler of this world. And in fact, as the ruler of this world, I want you to turn over to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. As the ruler of this world, he offered Jesus Christ in his hypostatic union to give him the world to rule it. He offered it to Christ. So here's the ruler of planet Earth, and when Christ was here, first advent, at hypostatic union, the ruler of this world tempted Christ, trying to get him to sin. I love this passage for several reasons. You'll see here in a moment. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. Of course, he is indwelled and filled with the Spirit from the moment of his incarnation and virgin birth. And he never sinned one time. He was always filled with the Spirit. But Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit, divine guidance, in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. Duh. You don't eat for 40 days, you'll be hungry. I don't eat for 4 hours, and I'm hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, he knows he's the Son of God. He was the covering cherub that covers the throne of Jesus Christ. He knows he's the Son of God. If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered, here's Upland Bible Church, it is written, man does not live by bread alone. How many times you hear that? A million. It is written, man does not live by bread alone. Notice, every temptation, Jesus Christ, how does he meet it? With Bible doctrine. Everyone, Bible doctrine, Bible doctrine, Bible doctrine. Now you're going to be tempted. How do you meet it? Bible doctrine. But you have to have the doctrine. You have to know it, learn it, believe it, and then apply it. You're going to be tempted too. What do you use? Bible doctrine. It's written, man does not live by bread alone. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their domain and splendor, for it has been given to me. Yes, that was back when the fall of man, Adam. For it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. I'm the ruler of planet Earth. I can give it to anyone I want to. So, if you worship me, it will be yours. I will give it to you. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Deuteronomy 6:13, Deuteronomy 10:20. What does he do? He uses Bible doctrine. Passes the test with Bible doctrine. Verse 9, the devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he is the Son, and the devil knows he's the Son of God. He said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written. See, he knows, the devil knows Bible doctrine. He distorts it. He twists it. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered, it says, Deuteronomy 6, verse 16, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Every one of these tests, temptations, Jesus Christ answered with Bible doctrine. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. One of the great passages that demonstrates Satan is the ruler of planet Earth. And he offered the rulership of planet Earth to Jesus Christ if he worships him. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4, let's start at verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the things hidden, living in the cosmic system because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world, Satan, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. And this is also taught in John 12:31, John 14:30, John 16:11, Ephesians 2:2. All of these passages declare Satan as the ruler of the world. Point four. The devil rules unbelievers through demon possession in some cases and demon influence. He rules unbelievers through demon possession and demon influence. Five. The devil rules certain believers also through demon influence, and the believer living in his life in Satan's cosmic system. We have, unfortunately, most Christians in America living their lives in Satan's cosmic system. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy 4, verse 1. The Spirit, that's God the Holy Spirit, clearly says that in later times, now what are later times? Everything from the first advent to the second advent, that's later time. First advent to the second advent. Some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Doctrines of demons. That's certainly what's going on in America as we speak. Six. As the ruler of this world, Satan has two designations since his fall. Originally, before his fall, Satan was called Lucifer, the son of light. The shining one. He was the bright and shining angel in the throne room of God. The highest ranking creature of all time. The most beautiful and attractive in appearance and personality. That was before the fall. But once his fall occurred in prehistoric times, he acquired two names, Satan and the devil. The first name, Satan, is a transliteration of the Hebrew noun Satan, which means enemy, adversary. Satan has greater power than we have. Far, far greater power than we have. However, Satan's power is not greater than the omnipotent God. And greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. His second name, devil, is the transliteration of the Greek noun diabolos, which means slanderer. One of the functions of the devil as the ruler of this world is to express his antagonism and slander and enmity, which he does from a position of great beauty and attractiveness. Principle. So although Satan is far superior to us in every way, God has provided three factors for us in grace. Although Satan is far superior to us in every way, God has provided three factors for us in grace. Factor number one, the unique spiritual life. The unique spiritual life of the church age, getting maximum metabolized doctrine in our heart, the absolute truth of the Word of God in our hearts. And when that happens, that insulates us from Satan's strategies. The insulation against Satan's strategies is the God breathes scriptures in your heart. You know it. You believe. What did Jesus Christ use in all those temptations? Bible doctrine, Bible doctrine, Bible doctrine. Now, that's what you do too, but you gotta have it there. And that means you gotta live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Spiritual skill number one, you gotta be filled with the Spirit. Spiritual skill number two, teaching ministry of the Spirit. You gotta grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ to get Bible doctrine in your heart. But that's the insulation. That's what Jesus Christ used. That's what you use. So the unique spiritual life, getting maximum metabolized doctrine, absolute truth of the Word of God in our hearts. Factor number two, the protection of the laws of divine establishment. The protection of the laws of divine establishment. These laws protect our freedom and privacy and property and life. And we needed this protection because the power of Satan as the ruler of this world is far greater than any power we could ever muster. Satan is under restraint right now, the restraining ministry of God the Holy Spirit. However, this restraint is removed during the tribulation, and its results are evident in the tremendous violence and warfare of the tribulation. So factor number two, the protection of the laws of divine establishment. Factor number three, the protection of the divine institutions. God has given us four divine institutions: freedom, marriage, family, nationalism. The protection of the divine institutions: freedom, marriage, family, nationalism. Point seven, Satan expresses his antagonism, slander, and enmity toward the following things. Satan expresses his antagonism, slander, and enmity toward the following things. First of all, Satan is the enemy of God. Satan is the enemy of God. And the angelic conflict, his objective is to win the angelic conflict and to destroy all. His attack is to destroy Jesus Christ. Well, as soon as he found out about the coming of the Messiah, all throughout the Old Testament, Satan attacked the line of Christ. All throughout the Old Testament. Came very close in the days of Noah through the fallen angels cohabiting with human women and producing the Nephilim, half angelic, half human. There were only eight people on planet Earth that were delivered. God had to bring judgment on the world. The whole world was destroyed except for Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wife. That's it. Eight. He came very close. And all the way through the Old Testament, he's attacking the line of Christ, the line of Christ, the line of Christ. And then he tried to kill Jesus Christ right after his incarnation and virgin birth. And he had all the babies, 2 years old and under, kill all male children, 2 years old and under, killed, trying to kill Jesus Christ in his hypostatic union as a baby. But he failed there. And then he tried to attack Jesus Christ, what we studied, temptation. If he can just get him to sin one time, then Jesus Christ is not qualified to be our Savior. He's not qualified to go to the cross. He had to be impeccable, sinless perfection to be qualified to go to the cross and pay the penalty for the world's sin. He tried to get Jesus Christ to sin one time. Didn't. Well, he failed. He didn't prevent the cross. And after Christ was on the cross, Satan had all of his people down below saying, if you're the Messiah, the Son of God, save yourself. See, he's not the Messiah. He can't save himself. How can he save anybody else? Laughed at him, mocked him. But if Jesus Christ comes off the cross, we have no salvation. He knew what the incarnation plan of the Father was, and he loved the Father with infinite personal love for God the Father. So he carried out the incarnation plan of the Father. And he stayed on the cross. And while he stayed on the cross and the sins of the world were poured on him, he looked around and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Here is the scum of the earth, laughing, happy that he's crucified. And how does he treat them? With virtue love. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then after his death, his burial, his resurrection, ascension, and session, now he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Now he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Now the attack is on the body of Christ. We're the body of Christ. For the first time in human history, Satan's attack is on every single believer, on the body of Christ, on you. And that's why you need to know your enemy. Sad to say, most Christians are casualties in the invisible war of the angelic conflict. You have to know your enemy. God has given you everything you need to be winners in this invisible war of the angelic conflict, called the armor of God, Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. The armor of God. It goes on in your soul. You put on the armor of God in your soul, you'll be winners in the angelic conflict. So Satan expresses his antagonism, slander, and enmity toward the following things. First of all, he's the enemy of God. Revelation 13, 1 through 9. Revelation 13, 1 through 9. Turn over to Revelation 13. Now, a lot of this in Revelation 13, 1 through 9 is about the Antichrist, who's called the Beast here. The Beast is the Antichrist. He is Satan's right man. He is his man, human being. The Antichrist is a human being. This is Satan's man. And Satan's accomplishing everything he wants to do through his man, the Antichrist. If you look down at verse 4, men worship the dragon. Who's the dragon? Well, Revelation 12:9 says the great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who deceives the whole world. So men worshiped the dragon because he had given power. Satan gave power to the beast, the Antichrist, the human, that he is accomplishing all his objectives. And they also worshiped the beast, the Antichrist and asks, who is like the beast? Who can make war against him? The beast, the Antichrist, was given a mouth to utter proud words, arrogant words, and blasphemies, and to exercise his authority for 42 months. That's the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, the great tribulation. He opened his mouth to blaspheme God. Now, this is Satan's man, Antichrist. The power that he has was given to him by Satan to blaspheme God. He's the enemy of God. And to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. He was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them. And he was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the book of life, belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. Satan is the enemy of God. Secondly, Satan is the enemy of Israel. Satan is the enemy of Israel. All anti-Semitism is satanic. Don't ever be anti-Semitic. And it's all over America. All over. And it's increasing. All anti-Semitism is satanic. Revelation 12, verses 13 and 15. 3, Satan is the enemy of all unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. We saw that passage already. Satan is the enemy of all unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. He is the greatest deceiver of all time. He blinds the minds of unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 4, 4. And Luke chapter 8, verse 12. When the unbeliever rejects Christ as Savior, he opens himself up for demon influence and, unfortunately, sometimes demon possession. 4, Satan is specifically the enemy of the royal family of God because we are the body of Christ. Satan is specifically the enemy of the royal family of God, for we are the body of Christ. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be self-controlled and be on red alert. Now, you might not have the word red there, but this is it. Be on red alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And he's devoured most believers living in America today. Sad to say, but that's true. So be on red alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Look over at 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. Starting at verse 25. Those who oppose him, who is him? Him is the pastor teacher. Those who oppose the pastor teacher, he, the pastor, must brace them with a mental attitude of grace. A grace mental attitude. In the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses. Now you see, a pastor has a job. Sometimes the job is to brace those living in the cosmic system, brace them through the teaching of the Word of God. Why? That they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. You're entrapped in Satan's cosmic system. If a pastor's doing his job right, he will teach the God-breathed scriptures, verse by verse, word by word, verse by verse, and that teaching of the Word of God. God the Holy Spirit takes the teaching of the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher and takes that right to you and says, this is true. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And as the Word of God is taught, that if you're living in the cosmic system, that the Holy Spirit takes that word and pew, 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 piercing. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any Machaira, any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All the pastor does is he's filled with the Spirit and studies and teaches and studies and teaches the God-breathed scriptures. God, the Holy Spirit, takes that, and the Word of God is alive and powerful. So when you're living in the cosmic system, you come here and the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God. Some of you, when you leave here, you got your bloody all over the place. So Satan is specifically the enemy of the royal family of God, for we are the body of Christ. There's nothing more important for you than know your enemy. You have to know your enemy, and your enemy is the ruler of this world. He is real. He's the ruler of the world. You've got to know your enemy. God's given you everything you need, but you've got to know the Word of God. And that means you find a sound Bible-teaching church, get your patootie in there consistently and faithfully, and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Put on the armor of God, and you'll be a winner. God's given you everything by His grace and power to be a winner in this invisible war of the angelic conflict. So, learn. We're still studying, and you'll have more distractions not to be here on Thursday night than any night of the week, while I'm teaching about Satan. You'll have more distractions. You'll have every opportunity to not be here. That's up to you. Satan doesn't want you here. He doesn't want you here. He doesn't want you learning about him, what he is, what he's like. So it's up to you. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our souls. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.